The next case in our calendar is 96-1433, Cleveland Bar Association versus Rebecca Ann Ray. Ms. Ray, I understand you are representing yourself, is that right? Okay, you're the respondent. You filed objections, so you may proceed with oral argument. Let me take you right to the findings of the board. A pattern, it seems to me, of taking money from clients and offering to represent them and not representing them. In some instances, telling them that you had filed documents on their behalf when in fact you hadn't. Based on that record, the Board of Commissioners and Grievances has recommended to us that you be indefinitely suspended from the practice. What's your defense to all of that?
All right. Basically, I think if you read my brief, it states that the work has been done. And for example, if you want to go to a specific case, Ian Nguyen, which was in Jim Ocar. Jim Ocar was a referee. It was on a drunk and driving case. I appeared at every single court appearance that was produced for a DWI to a physical control. So I made all my court appearances on that issue. That would be the case of the complaint of Annie Quinn. And there was especially about a $500 fee that was not refunded. If you'll read the brief, you'll see that money in several instances were filed that were turned over. For example, I don't really think that Annie Quinn has any type of argument because James Ocar did get a physical control. There was never a warrant after the arrest. If you need to contact James Ocar on Walton Hill, they'll let you know the results of the case. If you need me to obtain the record for you, if you want to remand it back to Cleveland, that can all be obtained for you. Due to my health status, I am unable to do all those things.
You basically did not show it, did you?
No, I did. I got it reduced to a physical control.
No, I'm sorry, you're over here. You did not.
So this is a disciplinary hearing before the panel.
This is the meat of my issue. If you have read the brief,
right, the meat of your issue is you were not notified.
I had not been properly notified. Now, my further assertion of that would be, if you receive things by regular mail and you chose to ignore them, why in the world would you sign for something that came to you certified? That's when somebody's gonna run. I had absolutely no idea, and I will tell you another thing. In the one complaint that regards Clark Patterson and that $2,000 for which work was performed, there was an interview which lasted over 5.5 or 6 hours, and obviously Mr. Reimer and I did not have time to put all these things into brief. We wanted to keep concise in case it did come to complaint argument. The court was notified, Jim Sunyak was notified, Judge Corgan was notified, they were filed. The work was done, I was told not to show the court because I'm giving the grandfather a heart attack. I stated that to your clue. I showed up at that final hearing. I worked with him throughout. The son was, the grandson was out of town. I did the work on that case, and that was not the final fee. That was only the initial retainer fee.
We can't be here to argue the end.
Okay.
What I want to get at is, give me a concise explanation of why you claim you did not.
Okay.
That's
okay. The basic thing is this. Every time that I have had to move, because of the oath, I have filed a change of address or proposed contract. Anything that comes certified, there's no reason for me not to sign for it, because I don't have anything to run from. Secondarily, any of my regular mail that comes to me would obviously come to me if I filed a change of address card. Thirdly, the Supreme Court of Ohio has always known my address and phone number and where I've been.
Have you changed, pursuant to the rule, have you notified us of your change of address each time?
Yes. You have my current address, and on my card, they have all the information that's registered there every time I have moved.
But the Cleveland Bar Association must not have known it, I guess. That's your contention.
They should have, because they got copies of my certified mail of answers to the complaint. So what I want to tell you is, I called them against you when I received notice of this, and to which they responded that he had not been on the committee for the last 2 years. So well, I'd like to speak with him, because two of the answers that I sent, when he talked to me casually in court, I sent them by regular mail and by certified mail. Magically, one of the complaints disappeared. It's not even mentioned in here.
What about the $5,000 in the Demings case?
That is
mentioned.
All right. I have no problem addressing that question with you at all. That was in federal court. That was in front of Magistrate Martunek. The $5,000 was the initial down retainer. It was a late sentence case. I spent approximately 4 hours with the family the initial evening. I waited over 6 hours for Robin Demings to show up for an appointment. If you don't show up for an appointment with me, I charge you for my waiting time. That's how I work. And I did wait for her. They were calling the house at all hours of the night. I shall read her the argument. I went to see the client in jail on 3 occasions. He needed to put up a surety bond. They did not have the proper equity in the home for that bond to happen. There was no cooperation. His parents didn't want to help, and then her parents didn't want to help. I said, I can't do a whole lot for you on that if I don't get the necessary cooperation. At which point, I was called, excuse me, a skinny white bitch, thrown into the wall, started pounding me. Jeff Leavitt, who is now retired but did work for the Cleveland Police Department at the time of East Cleveland, I'm sure Judge Sweeney is well aware of who Jeff Leavitt is, came and got me out of the room. I was bleeding. I was pretty badly beat up. They asked me if I wanted to file charges.
Did you earn the $5,000?
$5,000 earned.
On what basis? On the 4 hours?
I spent about 25 plus hours going to the jail, from the jail, on the phone, waiting for her, interviewing time with the family, 3 visits to the jail, which is not close from downtown. I'm going to charge, obviously, for a jail interview at that point. And
was she eventually convicted?
It's not she, it's he, and he was convicted. The police department went ahead and attempted to file an assault charge. There is also one to justify pull up the case, as did Magistrate Martinez, because he did not like the fact that I was assaulted in the jail.
Demings is a he?
No, Demings.
That's who we're talking about.
Demings is the girlfriend.
Oh, that's who we're talking about. Miss Demings paid.
Miss Demings paid the money out of his money. That wasn't her money. And that money was earned.
Okay, so that was the question I asked you.
And there was a 33-page answer sent to Mr. Rigetti by certified mail with an answer on another complaint, and that complaint was regarding a divorce, and it has mysteriously disappeared. That's how that is my allegation for that being the answer. And I never heard anything after those were sent. I called to see if he needed any subsequent information, and he said no, he didn't even contact me, and I was never contacted after that. But at last, when I saw Magistrate Martinez, he said if they don't have the money for the bond, and you've done your work and you've been out there and you've been to see me, you don't have anything else you have to do.
The board recommends that you be indefinitely suspended. Do you believe that you are subject to no sanction by this court for any of this?
I'm hardly in a position to say that. I think that if you're going to do that, I think that you need to look into the case more thoroughly, is what I think needs to be done as to the service. That's why we ask that it be remanded to back to Cleveland. All right, at this point, I don't think a final decision to my indefinite suspension should be made. I don't know what type of sanctions would be imposed. I don't know if you have some guidelines that you would want to offer me for the future. I respect the court. I respect my license. I also respect my health. I would like to continue it, so eventually I can be able to work again. All right, but as far as, I mean, it is not really, I'm not really in a position to tell you that I don't deserve you to reprimand or, you know, tell me in any fashion what I should do, because I'm not in your position.
What you're really asking for is a chance to go back and have a hearing where you could present this evidence to you.
Absolutely.
But the board says to us that although respondent initially made some written responses trying to explain her conduct with regard to the complaint, she has ignored all more recent inquiries. No answer was ever filed by respondent.
That is not true, and that is the basis of my wanting to go back to place, because if we can get, I have half of my things in storage. I do not have an office appointment at this particular time due to the illness. However, I do have documented copies of the responses that were sent to Mr. McGinty. If I am presented with an opportunity to show them what was sent, to give you tape recordings of conversations that were had with me and Mr. McGinty that I did tape recordings, you will hear a different side of the story. It is very impossible to tell you everything in this brief. I am simply asking for an opportunity for it to be sent back to the court of origin where this all started. I feel that I'm put in a bad position coming here because it appears that I was negligent. I think that if I was negligent, I wouldn't be bothered to be here today. I don't think I would have bothered to file this. Cool. I don't think I would have done what I could have done.
Well, do you have any explanation why you didn't receive the notices? You say that you had that same address?
No, I did not have the same address. I changed addresses three times. I filled out the Postmaster General, changed the address three times.
Well, the sheriff even tried to serve you twice. According to the board, we take them as...
I don't know where he tried to serve me. If I was in the hospital on a day he tried to serve me, there's nothing I can do about that.
And the board attempted...
I hospital stays in excess of 270 days.
Well, if you're in the hospital, that wouldn't change your address to which you received, at which you received mail.
Well, not necessarily, because if you don't plan on being in the hospital and you're rushing around on an emergency basis, some type of notice would be left at your door. I never had any written signal or any certified mail. For example, and the best example I can give you is if I was going to ignore mail, why would I have ever signed for anything in June or July this year, not even knowing what it was?
I understand your argument that you want to present the facts at another hearing, but you say you responded, and yet on page 18 of your brief, I remember reading this, you said
that was written by Mr. Reinhardt,
that she is presently facing additional surgery, all of which has contributed to her failure to respond.
You know,
sounds to me like there's an admission you failed to respond.
Right, no, there's no admission of failure to respond.
What does that mean?
Well, you have to ask Mr. Reinhardt because he wrote the brief.
He's representing you. He must have
no, well, actually,
based it on what you told him.
Due to the fact that I was not able to travel down here, I left my version of brief on his voicemail. If you would like him to come in at a later date and testify as to that fact, he will. There are some mistakes in the brief. As I read it down here again, I see where in some parts of the country is. So, however, if you read more carefully, you'll see that the Cleveland Bar Association contradicts themselves about three more times than I do in here.
Does that complete your argument?
Well, I mean, you're asking me questions, I'm trying to answer your questions for you.
think anyone else has any questions, so
well,
are
no,
you...
I'm saying I tried to answer that person that was being asked
okay.
about the brief and the error in the brief. And saying we were not down here together in Columbus raising the brief. It was physically impossible for me to come down.
Where are you living at the present time?
Pardon?
Where are you living at?
At the same place where I'm signed for the certified mail. You can't know my alignment about 5 blocks away from my parents because of the problem with the bladder and having surgery. I have, it's expensive. The problems are expensive, and I don't have the money right now for the surgery, which renders me unable to do a lot of things. And I don't want to stand here, and I don't want to cry because it's not, that's not something that I do in court anyway. But all I can do is tell you that I went through 90 NCs before I had my hysterectomy at 34. I thought they called me to keep my uterus, and now I'm fighting my life, keep my life. And all I want is a chance to be heard.
Thank you, Ms. Rhea. The case is submitted. The Cleveland Bar did not file a brief, so the case is submitted, and you'll be advised of our opinion. Thank you.